You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the fifth episode of season seven, The Demon, directed by Mark Bunting and written by Benjamin Robb and Derek A. Hughes. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
Was this a good episode?
I don't know.
I feel like there was a twist element to it.
But
it wasn't really a twist.
But also you're kind of like, then, you called it The Demon. And everyone's like, well, I wonder if it's, like, it's nice to have, it's Talia, right?
Talia
back?
Yeah.
I like having her back. But also, I kind of forget what she was the first, like, the way that I like that they kept reminding us throughout it, where he's like, you trained me, and you did all these things. Like, oh, yeah, remember when she was a thing that was around? Because she was before Anissa, right?
So, it gets a little confusing. At the same time? I did have to explain this to Matt, my co-host from Rebel Cells.
Right.
Earlier today, that Talia came after Nyssa on the show, but technically in the story,
Ollie meets
Talia before he meets Nyssa.
Right. Okay.
Because he doesn't meet Nyssa until Nyssa comes to Star City in season two.
Right.
But he meets Talia in season five in the flashbacks.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right? And she trains him in Russia?
Is that season five of the Russia story? No. That's what I'm trying to put place. Because I remember Katana
is Hong Kong.
And Anatoly in Russia. But I don't remember.
Well, no, yeah. It's season. I don't remember if it's Russia or not. But it is season five.
Okay.
Because she works with Chase. Right? Like, she's. The last time we saw Talia was on Lian Yu.
I see. I don't remember that.
We didn't see Talia at all last season.
Right.
She's so, as far as we know, she's dead.
Okay. Yeah, but until we didn't see her at all. But the island blew up last season.
No, the island blew up 2 years ago.
Oh, whoa! Interesting.
The end of last season was Ollie going to prison.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been in prison for ages.
Well, it's been like four/five episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is a little bit, it's a little convoluted to explain.
Oh, she took the mom and them to the island.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't see her die. We heard the explosion. And remember I was like, she's not dead? Is that who it was or was it Merlin?
No, so Merlin died before the island blew up.
But there was somebody that died on an explosion on Lian Yu, and I said, we didn't see them die. I don't think they're dead. And you're like, no, that was actually an explosion. And I'm like, okay. I don't know who it was. But I'm now thinking.
Well, okay. So Merlin's death happens. Like, I think you might be thinking of that. Because Thea steps on a landmine.
Oh, and he pushes her off.
He pushes her off of it and steps on it.
Yeah.
And then blows himself up to take out Captain Boomerang.
When is that?
Oh, it's on the island because Captain Boomerang.
I don't remember. Because
Captain Boomerang was in the, because he's not a meta, so metas go to the pipeline.
Right. Otherwise, the other ones Flash, go to the
non-meta supervillains that are a big enough threat.
Right. Go to
don't Lian go Yu. To prison. They go. They were going to Lian Yu, and I mean, like, that's an idea that they never really utilized or fleshed out, because the only two who were ever in there were Deathstroke and Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
But for a bit there, Ollie was planning to use it as his own private prison, which is just another one of the reasons why he should be in jail. But
he's done a lot of bad stuff.
I mean, like, it's highly illegal as well as being kind of inhumane. And but I guess Argus was also part of that, weren't they?
Yeah, it was an Argus prison. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's that skirting the lines of.
Yeah. So yeah, so when Chase and Talia went to the island, they got
Captain Boomerang. Why was she working with Chase again?
To take down Oliver.
To just be
Revenge. Evil.
Well, revenge for what though?
For Oliver killing Ra's al Ghul.
Oh yeah.
Her father.
Oh,
she's kind of mad about it.
Oh, I super conflated Merlin with Ra's al Ghul during this episode because Ra's al Ghul, or because Merlin became the demon. I don't know. My brain just went to a bunch of different places. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of dads and daughters and demons and people. And I was thinking about, this all makes a lot more sense now.
This show is really just about dysfunctional families.
It really is.
A lot of daddy issues.
All terrible things. Like, if you look through history, it's just like a bunch of warring families that...
One of my favorite perspectives on Star Wars, and one of the reasons why Luke Skywalker takes himself out of the game in between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, is because so much of the galaxy's suffering is a result of the Skywalkers specifically.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, his perspective is flawed because they're also, like, him and Leia are also
the light.
Yeah, and Anakin before he fell was also one of the greatest heroes that the Republic had ever seen. So, like, we talked about this in what will be either, I don't know if it'll be on the end of this episode or it's long enough that I might just release it
as a
Thunderquack thing.
Yeah.
But we talked about that your focus determines your reality, and right, Luke's focus in that moment is on the bad stuff.
Right.
And so he looks at it and goes, like, the Skywalkers are, like, the sole reason for millions of deaths.
Right.
Yeah. Right? If not for the Skywalker bloodline, all of these people would still be alive. He's part of that because he blew up the Death Star. And killed at least in the thousands, if not. I mean, like, it was a battle station the size of a moon. There could have easily been a million people on that.
Yeah.
A million troops. And blew it up. Just.
Wow. It's
kind of a bit of a war crime, I think. But they had it coming. Except for the guys who were just working, like, custodial. And.
Yeah.
You gotta imagine, like, there are mess halls and stuff on the Death Star. So they're just cooks. Just, like, short order cooks working on the Death Star.
Oh, who was. Someone was dressed up as, Anakin, like the SNL parody version of Anakin. Radar technician Kylo.
Yeah.
Who did I say?
Anakin. You said Anakin.
Oh yeah, you knew who I meant.
Yeah.
Kylo.
I love that you, as a Star Wars fan, like your touchstones for Star Wars. We're gonna get back to Arrow in a second. Your touchstones for Star Wars, and this goes back to like the earliest.
Like
the beginning of our friendship.
Yeah.
Are the pretty boys, Anakin Skywalker and Kylo Ren. Yeah. But I love that you just skip over the original trilogy and it's like, cause like Luke Skywalker's not really doing it
but
for
But here's
you,
right? the thing, because I fell in love with the trilogy when I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I did not sexualize either of those men.
Yes.
Right? Like it was just a show that I loved about space and cool superheroes and spaceships, and so that's interesting. Yeah, so that's totally what it is, because then I watched Anakin when I really liked Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, well,
so of course I sexualized him.
We were like 15, 16, yeah, right?
It was the perfect time. Yeah. But oh my gosh, that gives me a lot of psychological insight. We were just talking about this. Anyways, that's exactly what it is. I focus on the things that.
But those are really like, I think, like two of the things that get you excited about Star Wars the most.
Anakin Skywalker
and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
So the fact that you conflated them in that that moment, I understood, and I just wanted everybody else listening to the podcast to know how your brain makes them interchangeable.
It does. Yeah.
Because just the pretty boys with the long hair and facial scars.
Yeah.
That's really what Amanda's into. Her very specific niche.
Very specific.
Black leather, red lightsabers. the whole thing.
I did get, did have we talked about how we went to this like convention here in Vancouver and there was all these great costumes
we have not
from
talked about
Star Wars, and it was like a photo opportunity, yeah. And of course Kara's loving it, and I'm kind of like, oh, this is cool, like, sure, I'll be in some of these photos,
yeah.
But then totally, like, the dude playing Kylo Ren, like, without his helmet on, was the one that I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Amanda had to stop and get a picture just with her and Kylo Ren.
Yes.
And with the lightsaber. You had to be holding the lightsaber.
I did. It was the coolest thing. I don't know. It was a sweet lightsaber.
It is
the way that it was made.
Anyways,
yeah. Head jump.
I would so much rather talk about Star Wars today. But I guess we'll talk about Arrow.
Just get into it sooner than we usually do.
Yeah. Actually, so we're talking about Malcolm Merlyn dying. He is apparently coming back at some point this season.
Of course.
John Barrowman's coming back. So, I mean, like, it could be flashbacks, it could be flash forwards. It could be a bunch of different things.
Flash forwards would be interesting.
I've got my money on alternate Earth.
Ooh, Malcolm. Yeah, that would be more interesting.
I think that that's probably the most likely thing.
Yeah.
Is for us to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And find out what happens. On maybe on Earth too, because we do have Black Siren, right? But yeah, let's jump into it. Let's get into the episode.
I would love.
Sorry for anybody who emailed. I'm hitting play. Arrow's flying at the screen, and now it's previously on. Yeah, I don't know. To me, this was one of those episodes that, although it had some really cool stuff in it,
it was kind of forgettable or not memorable, or
you know what it is. The B plot is inconsequential to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that when the B plot doesn't matter to me, I get not that I got bored during this episode. I actually enjoyed watching this episode, but like sort of thinking back on it. There's no Renee in it. That's a very good point. And that's a very big
That's part of usually he's in those B plots.
Yeah.
I did like the Laurel Felicity stuff.
The Laurel Felicity stuff was okay for me. I did actually like I liked where Curtis ended the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I just found the story itself
to be
all of these Argus storylines, I just find them tedious.
They're so tedious. Yes, agreed. And just not interesting to me. Like, it's actually, this is the problem with this season, is that it's a prison drama.
Yeah.
And a military drama. Yeah. And those are two of my least favorite genres of things. And so when you put both of them together, it's just not exciting to me. Which is why when you get the character stuff back, like having Talia in this episode, and the stuff with her and Ollie, that was the only bits that I'm kind of like, this is cool. And then them doing that fight and breaking out was all really fun. Yeah. And then, but everything else was kind of meh. But it's why I liked the three, like the Canaries and Felicity doing their thing, because again, it's character driven, and that's the stuff that I like, is that and the action stuff and the superhero stuff. That's what I come on board for. I don't come on board for a psychological prison drama and a military spy thriller. Like, those are not the things that I signed up for when I signed up for Arrow.
I think one of the things there that's really important is it's very noticeable when they're playing to their strengths on the show, and you're right, like the superhero stuff, the detective type stuff.
Yeah.
That's where the writers on this show really shine. Mm-hmm. And obviously in like the interpersonal drama stuff, it can be hit or miss, but when they do it well, they do it really, really well.
Yeah.
Every once in a while they veer into something else and it become, and that can be great. But more often than not, I find with Arrow, when they stray from their given genre,
it just doesn't quite,
they kind of lose the thread
a little bit. Yeah.
And I would agree that like this prison stuff, I think my biggest thing with the prison stuff is that the stakes can't possibly get higher.
Yeah, because he's,
and they keep trying to up the stakes.
Yeah.
And there's like a prison riot every episode.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's like, is there no oversight in this facility?
Yeah.
Like, who is allowing it to operate in this way? And like, yeah, I get it. Like, I've been listening to Serial this season, and you know, like I've seen my fair share of, you know, the way that the actual real prison life system. Prison system works through media and stuff like that. And yes, it's not ideal, and bad things happen for sure, and things
but go it's not on like that every single guard is corrupt. Yeah, and nothing
this
is
this idea like that, that the prison system is entirely
and he's now evil, in a level like, where nobody knows that it exists because there's this like, almost, guy torturing people psychologically, and it's like
to me it almost does a disservice to that to the idea that prison reform is an important thing.
Curtis is like the one shining light and stuff where they're like, stop for chocolate. Like, yeah. But it's like, I love Diggle's sort of disdain where he's like that 23 minutes where we were off the grid, we were buying chocolate.
Yeah.
It's just, it's kind of funny.
It's his disdain.
Yeah.
But I was saying they do a disservice to the idea of prison reform with stories like this because they make it seem cartoonishly evil.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to what it really is, which is a little bit more, like, insidious.
Did you catch up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine yet?
Well, what do you mean, catch up? I mean, like,
I... Oh, have you watched the prison... The one...
That was, like, two seasons ago.
Okay, good. I feel like when we were talking about this prison stuff last, you hadn't watched the stuff in the prison.
No, it was probably more so that you were talking about a season and a half ago. But...
Was I talking about it a season and a half ago?
No. When you were talking about it, because you're watching it on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I watch it when it airs.
Well, then.
So, no, I'm just saying that, like, that's so, like, when you say, like, the prison stuff as if it's topical.
Oh, no.
If you just got that season on Netflix.
No, I didn't. No, it's just, but I'm just saying the one thing I remember is that we had talked about that being a really great representation of like prison, like how he's dealing with that, right? And that he comes out of there being like, prison sucks.
It's more so that like it's not that there are a bunch of evil people in prison. I think even Orange is the New Black kind of does a bad job of this, where it's like, oh, these are people taking advantage of and or evil people, or in the instance of Arrow, cartoon supervillains.
Yeah.
Doing evil, nefarious things.
This actor is somebody that's famous for reasons other than acting?
We talked about this the first time that he showed up.
Yeah, but he's not, right, because he's not...
I think it's basically just acting, but
is
he's...
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's just been in a few things.
Okay.
But it's more so, like, the institutional racism.
Right. Yeah.
It's that the prison system is built to create a hierarchy where guards feel superior and dominant over prisoners.
And to keep people in the system because it's a business.
And it dehumanizes them, right? Yeah, and that's exactly it. And it's all built around this idea of this.
And that's more interesting, right? The
privatized prison industrial
complex. Rather than them all being super villain, like villainy, like guards.
And these are real problems that need to be addressed by society. Yeah. And by putting Oliver into a prison that is full of super villain nefariousness, it's kind of... It's kind of almost inadvertently satirizing,
right?
The problems in real prisons, and making it silly instead of serious.
Well, some of these issues, I think personally, is that we always talk about this, how there's so many filler episodes. The fact that Diaz is in 30 seconds of this episode, bothers me. Like, it's not like there's so much more cool stuff that we could be doing with that. Like, this plot to find him doesn't need to be as long. They're both of these plots, like them on the outside and Ollie inside, is about breaking down level 2 and I don't know, it's just there's like a lot of things that it's it seems like a filler story in a little way, in a few ways. Like, we're trying to get somewhere interesting and we're creating all these false stakes in the meantime.
The psychological part of this, the
reveal of her is really cool.
Of Talia.
That they don't do it right away. Like, you would expect it after this upshot of him stopping on her, you expect her to be revealed right away, but they don't. Yeah. They pull up behind. So, good job. And then she gets revealed, like, standing up. It's very cool. Yeah.
I was almost convinced that this was going to be the reveal of Emiko.
His sister, that somehow
she had gotten into the prison
and
was like gonna break him out or something like that. But it's Talia. But I was going to say, the whole we're fast forwarding through commercials right now, the whole plot line with level two is a contrivance to give them a plot device to get Oliver out of prison.
Right, yeah.
We're going to talk about this commercial real quick. I know you guys don't like it when we talk about commercials, but this one is important, and Amanda may have missed it.
Is it about Call of Duty?
No.
Oh, this? What is this? Sunday, December 9th? Oh, I totally did. What is this? What? What is this? Ooh. Whoa. Why can't... That doesn't have subtitles. I don't know what's happening. He's married to Iris? Elsewhere? Weird. Cool.
So he that's just our wakes first, up. That's our first preview. We're back in the episode now.
No, it's because I watched preview for the crossover. Space. That's why. Because I told you my PVR broke and I couldn't actually record this episode. That's my first time seeing that preview. That was it. Sorry for being a weirdo about it.
No, it's fine.
I'm excited.
Yeah, the crossover is going to be awesome. So we're talking about the preview for the Elseworlds crossover. So there's another one that aired last night
with the Flash.
During the Flash.
So that it's the opposite?
That's the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, so it's basically they just become each other, but they are still themselves? They still remember themselves?
Something has happened and they've swapped places.
Okay.
But
like into the worlds of where they actually are
we're going to have to see. It's going to have something to do with the monitor and him messing with the multiverse, and then
something that I'm not paying attention to on the Flash, you mean?
No. The monitor is a villain that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, something to do with
he's specifically okay, the monitor is a character in the comics.
I thought he was anti-monitor.
Okay, you're getting too far ahead of yourself.
Oh.
The anti-monitor only exists because the monitor exists.
Oh, okay.
The monitor was first, and then the anti-monitor comes later.
Oh, okay.
But it's all part of the monitor and the anti-monitor and Superboy Prime and blah, blah, blah. They're all part of
the same thing.
Okay. Crisis storyline. So Infinite Crisis storylines. So this is the Elseworlds is actually going to be a bit of an Infinite Crisis story.
Cool.
By virtue of the fact that the monitor has anything to do with it.
Interesting.
I apologize if that's spoilers to anybody, but I don't consider it spoilers because they released a promo image of the monitor, and my God, Andy and Maya, who do the costume designs for these shows, from the majority of the costume designs, they don't always get to do the costume designs, but when they do,
I now have to Google this,
and they nail it. They nail it.
They
nail
the monitor.
The monitor.
Paying attention to this Elseworlds thing.
This design is the most comic accurate design they've managed to pull off yet.
Awesome. Is that what he looks like in the comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nice.
They nailed it.
Awesome.
Like 110% nailed it because they did what like the Marvel movies do.
Tally and Ollie have been talking this whole time. So everybody knows, this is going to be one of those episodes where we don't actually, like, we talk around the episode, not about the episode.
The plot of this episode could have been covered in 15 minutes, but it takes an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
44 minutes to be exact. But the monitor costume that they pulled off is on the level of like Iron Man comic to screen
awesome
portrayal, right? Like Captain America being realized on screen sort of thing. Like they are nailing that Marvel Studios.
What?
Level,
is that it?
Yeah.
What? That is so good.
It's like movie quality.
That is
right?
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. How exciting.
Yeah. They did such a good job. I can't wait to see this character.
Have we posted this on our social media yet?
I mean, I'm sure that
should.
I'm sure that it was posted on quiverpodcast.com.
Oh, but, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. The whole Elseworlds thing, the whole 3 hours
good.
Is going to be just amazing.
I'm very excited.
I can't wait. I'm so excited about
Yay.
It.
Yay.
Barry and Oliver switching places. Superman, Lois Lane, Smallville. Because they're going to go to Smallville, which I don't think on Supergirl.
Wait,
I don't
they're
think...
going to go to Smallville?
Yeah.
Nice! Matt, how can I catch up on all this stuff?
I'm going to give you a spoiler about season 3 of Supergirl, but it's a spoiler that's going to get you to catch up and watch.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's not going to like...
Okay. There is an episode of Supergirl that references, not only references, but involves Chloe.
Really?
Yes. So Chloe exists in that...
No way!
In that verse as well. So,
exciting! Okay. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she was my least favorite part of Smallville.
Sure, but it's an acknowledgement of Smallville.
That's really cool,
She is not in the episode.
But it references her.
She does actually play a role in the episode.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yay!
It's pretty
great. I really do want to catch up on it. I will catch up on Supergirl before I catch up on The Flash.
So. I was reluctant. Like, I was okay last year with... Now we're talking over the Curtis storyline. He's being a spy.
Yeah.
He's reluctantly Mission Impossible-ing.
Because he speaks a bunch of languages and something to do with drugs. Drugs? Serums? Chemicals?
This chemical biological of some kind. Weapon.
Yeah.
I was fine with not watching Supergirl last season because the whole Rain storyline, like, from the outside... I was like, I don't care.
Have I finished Supergirl? Season 2?
This is season 3.
We're on season 3
You
right
finished
now?
Season 2.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Season 3 you're talking about.
So season 3 is what I'm talking about. So Rain being like kind of an anti-Supergirl.
Right, and I haven't caught up there yet. So they,
and like I was not interested in it, and then I started watching it to get caught up for the crossover, and because it came to Netflix finally, season 3 came to Netflix. So I started watching it, and I binged season 3, all 23 episodes, in like a week.
Nice.
Because it was actually great.
Awesome.
And they're doing so many things on Supergirl that I just think are so...
Supergirl's great. Yeah.
I just think like there's a lot of admirable qualities about that show.
Yeah.
That Arrow and the Flash and Legends do their stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Supergirl's about something. Like, it's a really
Supergirl
good
is, like, about, unabashedly, like, feminist girl power.
Yeah.
And it's, like, there are many episodes where, like, the women just go off on their own. And there's three or four of them. And they're all powerful in their own ways.
Yeah.
And they're working together to save like the world.
Yeah.
And they really don't need any guys.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough. I don't think that there's another show on
that's
TV
really just doing
that does that. And it's certainly not one that does it as well as Supergirl.
The
season finale of season 3 has some legit, like, Superman, not Superman the character, but like Superman type, like fanboy flailing, going crazy moments where I was like, I watched it on the train, like I watched it on my commute on my phone, and I was like giddy on the train, and other people on the train were probably like, what's that guy's problem? But I was so excited by certain things in the finale. It was just like, this is so cool.
Yay.
I can't believe they're doing this.
Yay.
It's everything we ever wanted Smallville to be and more.
Nice. There's just too much TV in the world.
Yeah.
I just have to catch up.
This is where I'm thankful that I have an hour-long commute. It's exactly long enough for me to watch an episode of a dramatic show. So that guy's dead now.
Yeah, the dude that was the guy that threatened him. I like that level 2 is not gender segregated.
Yeah.
Like it's just like the women and the men all together. Just kind of, they have enough. It's not just her on her own.
Yeah.
It's such a small thing, but they thought through the fact that the background would also need to have women and men in it. It's just a small attention to detail, but I like it. So let's catch up on the things that are happening in this episode as we fast forward through commercials. And that is that Curtis is helping Argus by going undercover. God knows why, because he speaks a bunch of languages. It's like Argus doesn't have other secret agents that speak a lot of languages.
Right.
Whatever.
There must be short-staffed.
Like, right now. Going undercover to find something to do with chemicals because of something. I actually don't know
what's
going on.
It is literally not important, and it is just...
And that's why it's just happening because...
It's just a storyline to further Curtis's arc this season.
Yeah. And we're back into this other plot, which is that Talia and Ollie... Talia said to work together with Ollie because she wants to get out of the prison, or...
Talia wants out.
Right, but she can't get out on her own.
She can't get out on her own. She needs Ollie's help.
Okay. Ollie. You would think that she'd be good enough. That undermiser, I feel like both of them could get out of there if they really wanted. I don't know. That bothers me that she can't get out by herself. But
teamwork is important.
Okay.
sure. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But I think a normal prison, yes. I think level 2 and like these things around their wrists and whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
that like unless they have somebody to watch their back.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing is like when they do get captured, like they do need both of them to take over the. Fine. It's good. So they're working together to get out of prison. Love the choice to have scars on her face.
Yeah.
I think is really important because she should be way more burned than she is currently because she was literally in an explosion. But they at least tried. They at least are like, she's not unharmed.
She didn't get away scot-free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's, I like that.
It's okay because she'll leave the prison and go and find a Lazarus pit.
And then
heal herself and then come back.
I'd like her to not heal herself. They've kept Ollie in this makeup all season, like that he's beat up and scarred. I like that they're just putting like a little bit more effort into this reality of the. Like, it's off-putting to see him constantly bruised and broken. Like, it's a very visceral and physical thing to, like, see. This is, so Dinah getting accosted by both Laurel and Felicity is great. And this is so great to have Laurel kind of coming into the fold in a really, that jacket is killing it. She looks so good.
Laurel's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I like the three of them working together. In green, red, and black.
Mm-hmm.
These are just all complimentary. This is like our Birds of Prey setup, yeah? That's sort of what's going on here.
100%.
I like it. They could hold their own on a show. They're doing a pretty good job. I didn't notice that Renee wasn't in this episode until we were talking about what was missing from this episode. And he wouldn't have worked in this particular, it's a good choice that he's not part of this storyline.
Yeah.
Because it works the best with just the three of them here. And he wouldn't have fit in the Argus storyline. So it's a good choice to have left him out of this episode because he doesn't fit in any of the stories. But
I'd like to really applaud them this season for putting Felicity in real clothes.
Right.
It drove me nuts the last few seasons where she was always wearing like a designer dress in every episode. And it was like, this doesn't seem practical or realistic. Right. But
I feel like Diggle's just like always in uncomfortable clothes.
He's a soldier.
I guess, that's what it is. It's the soldier uniform. Remember when Diggle just, like, drove the limo and was a bodyguard?
The first half of season 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, he's still around. How did Diggle not die? Like, I don't know. Every season, I'm kind of like, Diggle's still around. Still got us some Diggle. Anyways, whatever. So, Curtis basically doesn't want to do the mission because he was said he only had to do it once. I don't quite... Like, this is a bit much to me, like, this, where he's just sort of, really is like, I don't want to do this, and Diggle's like, you have to, it's your job. I don't know.
I understand this aspect of his character. He was never really that comfortable in the field, and I think it took almost going to jail.
Yeah.
To...
snap him out of it a little
bit. To kind of, like, to put him in this mode of, like... exactly what he says. It's like this life has a cost, and it cost him his marriage. And I think that you're probably reacting to is the fact that they glossed over that last season.
Oh, right.
It happened 2 seasons ago.
Right.
Right. Because it happened during the Adrian Chase thing.
Yeah.
And last season we just didn't talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Right? That might be a lot of what it is.
And then this season, like I think that. If I had to guess, this is probably Beth Schwartz going like, hey...
How come we didn't talk about that stuff?
Should we maybe address the fact that you know, being a superhero cost Curtis his entire life? It cost him his livelihood. It cost him his husband. Like, it really did ruin his life. So is he going to be gung-ho about going back into the field, even if it is officially for Argus? No, like, he feels like he's left that part of his life behind.
Yeah. Also, thought Dr. Parker was going to be around for a lot longer than he actually was.
Yeah, so, it seemed like they were building him up. Yeah. But, like I said, this is a contrived storyline just to get us to a place where they're going to be break able
Ollie to out. Take but get I don't Ollie out get how legally. They can get him out because
using the same sort of very loose legal nonsense that we usually get on Arrow.
Yeah.
It's like I said, like we talked about it, when they go outside of their lane,
yeah, they don't
it's not as strong, and I just don't think that anybody on this writing staff is a legal writer. like cuz law shows are a very specific type of show, right?
What are they, like, not assistants, but like people that are from the
experts,
field,
yeah, experts, consultants. Yeah,
consultants, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. And yeah, it's almost like lawyer shows adhere to these very strict sets of rules. One might almost call them laws. And that's kind of important. And when you don't pay attention to actual real life legal
things,
technicalities, you undermine any of your story.
Yeah.
It's kind of
also
obnoxious when they do that.
The thing that's bothering me about this story is that at the end of last episode, we were supposed to see Ollie having been broken a little bit, and it just completely got negated at the beginning of this episode. Like, yeah, there wasn't even like a semblance of him erasing his old self. Like, it just didn't come across. I don't know if it was written in, but it didn't come across like that.
Yeah.
And so something was lost. How are you just like looking at stuff in heels? Like, you're just standing in your heels around a table. Why take them off if you're standing, or sit down in your heels? It just seems so unrealistic. Sorry. They're both wearing heels. Anyways.
But it like, but wearing heels, it like elongates the leg and it forces you to stand up straight. Yeah. And
but it would be more realistic and show that they've been there doing a lot of paper sifting, if they had their heels beside the table where they were standing, and they were standing in their bare feet.
I mean,
they would never be allowed
to. But also, they look really good.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they do, of course.
I mean, like, but I think
here's the thing. These close-ups, you bet your butts they're not wearing their heels in these close-ups.
Yeah.
Right? They definitely have their Uggs on. That's the best part about being on set, is seeing all the actors, like, on set with their Uggs. Yeah. Like, in the rest, the top up is all, like, their evening gowns and all that stuff. And then only for the wide shots wearing their heels.
Yeah.
It does. Anyways.
Sneaky. Sorry. Like newscasters that don't even bother to wear pants.
Best.
That's mostly a reference to How I Met Your Mother. I don't know that a lot of newscasters actually don't wear pants. I mean, like, I feel like you'd be...
That show overall wasn't good, but there's some gems that came out of How I Met Your Mother. The commercials.
Look, agree to disagree. Because I have watched through Friends so many times that I'm kind of done with it for a little while.
Yeah.
And so right now, my Netflix background noise... The show that, let's be honest, most of us do this. The show that I put on to go to sleep to, because our generation is just unable to exist without screens. We just can't do it.
I can't watch screens. Oh, we're back. I can't watch screens, otherwise I won't fall asleep, because I've trained myself to, like, watch TV.
Yeah.
Like, I even did that. I did a 24-hour, like, that 24-hour famine that we would do at in school, and if there was movies playing all night, I wouldn't go to sleep because I would just be watching the movies. It's also a thing on the plane ride back.
Yeah.
I made the choice to watch two movies, and I was like, well, I could just put on The Lion King because I've already seen it. I could fall asleep. And I was like, Amanda, you know yourself better than that. You would just watch the whole freaking
movie. You're just going to watch The Lion King.
Because I just watch movies. But I'm a rarity. I understand that I'm an exception to the rule, because screens, you are correct, a lot of them are used to put people to sleep.
So I use How I Met Your Mother right now, because I know every episode of that show.
Interesting.
So
I never finished it.
No?
No. I couldn't do it, man.
It's
depressing. I got so close.
The end is so depressing.
Yeah. But anyways. It's a...
It actually ends a lot like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, do you really need me to unpack
sad?
That for you?
Yeah, like, really kind of sad, where you're kind of this is a twist, but not something good. And not something I wanted.
Not something you wanted at all. It does involve dead people.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I know how it ends. I mean, I know.
Spoilers for
3 years
ago.
But I don't have to, like, it's all good. I know how it ends. It also, it's kind of like hearing that made me less want to watch it, because I'm kind of
so, like,
eh.
This is the biggest thing, and...
Again, Talia and Ollie are standing in a jail cell talking.
Yeah.
Like, that is what's happening right now. Yeah. Anyways, carry on.
sucking in those cheeks.
She's angry.
She's mad. This perspective, I think, fixes How I Met Your Mother as a show entirely. And it excuses any problems that okay. there ever are with it. It is not what happened. It is Ted's recollection and the story he's choosing to tell his children.
Yeah, I guess so.
And based on the series finale, he's telling them that story, that very long-winded, specific story, for a purpose. And it is so that by the end of the story, they will say, it's okay. Mom's been dead for however many years. You can go date Robin now. Mm-hmm. Right? And so there are so many things in it that you're like, that makes no sense. It's stupid. Why did they do that? Right. Why does this character behave this way? Right. It all makes perfect sense when you just think about it from the perspective that Ted is,
right. like trying to, yeah.
is trying to manipulate his children into being okay
Does
with
that
him,
make it better? I
with don't know. Him dating their aunt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And one of the things there is that Barney and Robin date and eventually get married, right?
Why are you spoiling it for me? I didn't ask you to tell me all about what happens and How I Met Your
you
Mother.
You said you almost finished it. The whole last season is about them getting married.
I didn't watch any of the last season.
Well, the season before that is about them dating and getting engaged.
Yeah, I didn't know they got married.
Well, too bad.
Spoilers! Maybe I did. To be honest, you I can't probably remember. Did. Also, I don't really care, so you can keep yeah. telling me. I'm
the
just
end
indignant
of,
for the sake of being indignant.
It's 9 seasons, so the end of season 7 Ew. Is the reveal that Robin is marrying Barney.
Okay, so I mean, that's like, where I got to. I didn't watch yeah, the last okay. 2 seasons then. By the way, I like this scene with this was the most interesting
yes.
scene of the movie with Curtis and this guy.
The episode?
Of the the thing that's been going on for what I can only imagine was yeah. at least 95 minutes. So Curtis basically coming back into being Mr. Terrific and
yeah.
just not backing down in this kind of nefarious bad guy, but also like very cliche bad guy.
Are we using the bullets that Wild Dog uses that don't kill but just
or
incapacitate?
Are we just killing all of these
or
people?
Just
yeah.
or is he just murdering yeah. these dudes?
Was that a voice activated gun? Yeah. Is that what it is?
I think
or
so.
It's like
yeah.
them just, anyways. But it's like, though it's just, he just takes everybody out because he's Curtis. It's great.
What I like about it is that the way that he punches right there, he's got a little bit of swagger.
Yeah.
In the way that he does it, and I love it.
He just does it all before the SWAT people get in. Do I still have my legs? I got so much adrenaline. I love it. It's a great line.
Because the thing that I think we always forget, and they do a very good job of constantly reminding us, is that, like, not only is Curtis a genius, he is also an Olympian.
Oh, right? Oh yeah. We always forget about that.
Yeah, we always forget that, like, no, and they reminded us in this episode. He competed in the decathlon.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's the event that is 10 events. Like it's the one, like, nobody watches the decathlon. Like, let's be really clear. So, like, nobody watches the Summer Olympics. Maybe some of the track and field. But definitely nobody's watching.
People that are not from Canada watch the Summer Olympics.
Nobody's watching the decathlon.
Okay.
That's the one where he's got to do 10 different things better than anybody else on the planet. And that's, like, this all comes from the comics, right? Like, that's
right,
why
yeah.
he's Mr. Terrific, because he's a... whatever
Mr.
10th
he's
level
terrific.
Genius and
yeah.
he's also a decathlete and all of these things
yeah.
But yeah, it's the moments like that where you see the other side of Curtis's character and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, he's a bit of a badass,
right?
But he's okay. a goofy badass.
So they found a box in the records of, anyways, this is just them going through records to try to find out what's going on in level 2. Because
yeah.
whenever you can't find stuff on a computer, it's clearly in a box in a basement somewhere.
Yeah.
That's how life works.
Read all the papers.
But anyways, they're finding out.
Also, I if this were a real legal drama, you would know that, like, Laurel doesn't do any of this work herself.
Of course not.
Like, that's what...
Yeah.
Like, lawyers don't read through all of the files themselves. They have paralegals for that. That's literally what a paralegal is for. Like, it's like, go through all of these things, highlight the stuff that I need to know, and then report back to me. And then if I feel like I need to look into that specific case, I'll read that file.
Yeah.
But, like, the DA does not sift through boxes themselves. Fast forwarding through
commercials. This is a bonding experience for all of them, so...
I'm just saying, like, the DA doesn't need to recruit a random civilian and the police captain to go through these papers. That's why they have paralegals.
She's got friends in high places that they're going to do lowly work.
There was a commercial for Fantastic Beasts.
There was, and the only reason I now want to see it is because there's a character named Nagini. And I just think that that's so great. That you don't even think about the fact that the snake is named after somebody that existed previously. Like, that's cool.
Oh, is that your read on that?
Yes. Or is it that it's actually
I think Nagini is the that... snake.
No way!
Yeah.
That would be even better.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, it just made me really excited about whatever.
Should we do a spoiler cast for Fantastic
Beasts? Yes, we're back in. Be one.
Okay.
We should do one. I'd love to do one. I really didn't want to go see it, though, because of all the political drama around it, and I still don't think... that maybe that was the best choice that they had made, but whatever.
Have you read any of the articles? Have you read what he has to say?
Oh, I hadn't paid any attention to Fantastic Beasts except for this weekend when I started seeing a bunch of advertisements for it in Times Square. Okay. So the advertisements are doing their job because now I'm like, meh, it's a movie.
I mean, he claims to have evidence that supports his side of the story, if we're talking about the same thing.
Are we talking about Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Okay.
He claims to have evidence and that, like, that the studio has seen the evidence and J.K. Rowling has seen it. And that's why she's confident in saying that she's okay with him being in the movie.
Okay, well, the last thing I read was that she wasn't confident with him being in the movie. So
oh, really?
That's okay. Why. So, but I haven't gone back into it. I haven't cracked. This was back, way back, the first time it was announced. So I haven't been paying any attention to that movie. Because I kind of was like, if I don't pay any attention to it, I won't be excited about going. And now I'm excited about going, so, I don't know, but, my name is Oliver Queen, you are getting smacked in the head and falling down, and how did he get out of this, though?
That's the I big don't, thing. That's the like, really big thing.
It
just really bothers
me, it's like, what did he do that she couldn't have done, like, I don't know, there's just, like, different things where I'm kind of like, they were, whatever, and it's just, they talk it away with the line, looks like you picked up a few tricks, yes, like, freeing a hand from, however, oh, look how convenient, there's a USB cord, like, thing right there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, if you opened my drawer, there are three flash drives, I can tell you for a fact, sitting on the top of my, of everything in my desk. So I believe that. It was a little bit, whoever placed it there needed to make it a little bit askew. It was a little bit too tidy.
Yeah.
But I'll also say that everything on my desk at work, I mean, like, when I leave at the end of the day, I make sure that everything is right angles. So...
Wow. That's very specific. This is... Okay, sorry. This is maybe also a really awesome scene. There's two really awesome scenes in
this. This is awesome and is only overshadowed by the fact that Daredevil did this way better.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking about, too, while I was watching you. Is
but
Daredevil.
For Arrow...
They did it well.
Good job.
Yeah, exactly.
But Daredevil did this way better in season 3.
Oh, yeah. There, nothing will ever... I feel like that Daredevil hallway fight is one of the best moments of action television that I've ever seen.
Like, have you watched season 3?
No.
They literally have a prison riot. Like a fight through a prison riot.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
This one as well? Then never mind. I'm talking about the hallway. I'm just talking about this hallway thing.
Yeah.
So, wait. You're talking about a different scene in Daredevil?
So, every season of Daredevil has... actually, and Defenders as well, has a single shot fight scene.
Oh, okay.
And the one this year is during a prison riot.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And it's all one continuous shot with no cuts.
Amazing.
And it's amazing. And anyways, the cat is out and he shouldn't
be.
He
scared me.
And yeah, he just...
But anyways, their tools of choice is really awesome for this too, for like the way that they're working with like the chains and that chain became way longer. And anyways, it's a good use of their one fight scene that they had. That was actually Stephen Amell, I think, doing that roundhouse.
Yeah.
So it's good because they you can tell when it's like not the stunt people.
Yeah.
Because you can actually see their faces. So,
Regardless of the fact that Daredevil did it better, that was a phenomenal fight scene. Yeah. And there were some really, really great moments in it that I think deserve to be honored. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
They're worth pointing out. Yeah.
So they're in the morgue.
Yeah.
And, okay. Like, you're telling me that she couldn't get to the morgue any other way? I don't know. I just think that the end game
the
of this
big thing
being,
was the bracelets,
oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's fair. But again, all she needed was a screwdriver. I don't know. Which I feel like a morgue would have, because isn't that like a... Isn't it hard to get through
a drill?
Bone?
Yeah, you definitely
what did I say,
need...
screwdriver?
You said screwdriver. Yeah, sorry. But, well, no, I'm like, drill, it, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The power tool that you use as a power drill slash
right.
power screwdriver is the same tool.
So Ollie not leaving the prison, and this was actually throughout this whole episode, was my biggest thing, being like, isn't Ollie in here because he doesn't want to be a fugitive? Why would he break out with her? So I'm kind of like, up until this point, I had been like, I'm confused by his motivation throughout this whole episode. Still a little confused, because...
He was using her. So,
yeah, but to get what? To get this information to Felicity, or...?
To shut down level 2.
Oh, okay.
Once he was on level 2 and realized what was going on. So there's a moment that we talked over, because we talked over all the moments in this episode, but when he sees the big guy being rolled out
on the stretcher
dead,
yeah.
You see his character change. You see his demeanor change.
Then he's like, this is a bad place and I need to deal with it.
This wasn't the right way for him to deal with this part of the situation.
Right.
He should have done what he did in the first episode, where he should have just knelt and just
he needed to hold them off. That was the whole point of this.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
He was gonna fight them so that she had time to get away.
Yeah.
Now we're...
This is a commercial again.
Fast forwarding. Oh, that's been 54 minutes of television that has.
Yeah. Well.
Or a little less because of the...
Less commercials.
Yeah.
I want to see Fantastic Beasts. I don't know. It's a bit exhausting. All of the controversy stuff.
There's controversy with
everything. Just in everything these days. Yeah. So I kind of just want to go enjoy a Harry Potter movie and just forget about it.
Which is everybody's prerogative. It's why entertainment exists. So. Ollie doesn't look that much bloodier than he did previously.
No.
It's a little bit...
He protected his face.
I guess so, yeah, that's true.
Gotta keep the moneymaker safe.
Yeah. So the prisoner abuse scandal being broke. So you don't actually see them, like, how all the information comes together or how Felicity gets this... Because I was a little confused as to whether or not it was them that did it or if it was Ollie's intel that...
It was both.
Broke everything up, but yeah.
It worked together. Yeah.
Because now you see Dinah being like, where did we get this little information? It's like, how do you not care where you got it from? I feel like you would care a little bit, Felicity, where you got that intel from. It seems like a lot of intel, and you're smarter than that to want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this Laurel is changing now, right? Like, this is Laurel making choices for the good of other things that are of her own volition. Now she's wearing red, Felicity's wearing green, and Dinah's wearing black. Mm-hmm. They have, all three of them, been in green, black, and red this whole episode.
Yeah.
Which is so awesome, in my opinion.
This is good. I like this scene a lot.
Parker getting attacked?
Yeah, I just like the comeuppance here. Where, like, because Ollie was only there for a little while.
Right.
Tully's been in there the entire time.
Yeah, I guess so.
And possibly longer, right?
Yeah, that's...
So now that she's out, she's got her gear, she's like...
Ugh, I remember that. It's nice to have a superhero back in a... supervillain or whatever you want to call her, in a costume, and he just died.
Yeah, he's dead.
Just got killed. And, so, Mr. Terrific... See, this is what Diggle should wear all the time.
Yeah.
That's why I'm... Because Diggle used to always wear this, because whenever they were down in the bunker, he was always hitting that thing with a stick. So he looks better in this kind of outfit.
Punching trees.
This is what I've missed. Yeah. I've missed the arms. I miss Diggle's arms. Remember we used to talk about that?
His arms are gigantic.
The great days of Diggle's arms. It's good. Thank you for bringing them back, whoever was responsible for that.
Yeah.
So... And again, something with a painting. I just don't understand what's going on in Argus. Like, and I don't care. Like, there was something with a painting with Lila and material. Like, there's something with this painting. Like, I don't care.
I mean, I think that this stuff ties back into something? Last week's episode.
Yeah, but I just don't know
but how. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, like nobody cares. I
don't know what the overall purpose is.
Yeah.
Like, who they're hunting or why they're hunting them. Or what?
Yeah, nobody cares about any of the Argus stuff. Yeah. If it had something to do with Diaz, I think maybe it would be important.
But maybe it does. That's the biggest thing
to me. Oh, it will definitely turn out that everything that Argus is doing is part of Diaz and the Longbow Hunters and some other...
Yeah.
There's another big bad that we don't know about this season. I guarantee
it. Right.
I guarantee it.
Yeah. But we don't know what that is yet, so... but... Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I wish that I cared more about what was going on with Argus. Was this little dude, he wasn't in the last episode? Level 2? Or, yeah, no, he wasn't, right? This is, but he's, like, gonna be around this episode, this season.
Yeah.
He's still here, still being Oliver's, what did he say? He's, like, his sidekick? That's what he called himself to Felicity? So, it's cool. Anyways, Ollie trying to figure out if it's a good thing that she's going after Diaz. And Laurel asking Felicity out for pizza. I don't know. This is like, I just like this. I like Laurel's progression of a character throughout this episode. Yeah.
Well, I Quentin gave her a purpose last year. And now that purpose is sort of linking up with what these guys are trying to do. And she's becoming friends with them slowly.
Right.
And that's going to bring her... into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't be Black Siren. She'll become another Black Canary.
Yay. But. Silencer is in Russia. I always love what they do with the actual silencer. Like the way that it works.
Yeah. The sound really stuff. Cool.
How did Diaz just get through all these people? Is this like showing how powerful he is? Like.
I was not paying attention when I was watching this the first time. I think I was like paying more attention. I did not look at the fact that they like photoshopped the Kremlin into the background there.
But they're in Russia.
In case you didn't know, this is Russia, not Burnaby.
Come on.
It's the same rooftop they use all the time. Yeah, next week, Oliver has to make choices or something.
Renee is back.
No, that's 2 weeks from now. Next week is
you're skipping ahead to the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah, but I know I. Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting.
It was the weird name. We said it last time.
Due process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like, they're going to actually try to.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to his way
put up with some lame legal stuff. But it's okay, because they're going to get him out in time for the crossover. Then he's going to switch bodies with Barry. But then all that's going to get fixed. And then we'll be back to having superheroes on the show.
Woo-hoo. So,
I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about the episode?
Did I have anything to say about the episode while we were watching it?
Yeah.
No. But this has been an enjoyable podcast for reasons other than Arrow.
I think so.
So... Thank you, everyone.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah,
so I'm on. It is now like it's way later for me because of the time change.
Yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast and on Twitter at quiverpodcast, as well as Instagram at quiverpodcast.
You can also follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at Akonkin, AKONKIN. You can add an 86 to that for Instagram.
And I'm at Arkwolf on Twitter and Instagram, ARKWULF. We're part of the DCTV Podcast Network. Head to DCTVpodcast.com to check out all the other great podcasts over there. And we're also part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other podcasts in that network. Just go listen to all of our podcasts, please. Just so all of the different podcasts with us and our friends and whatnot. If you like what you hear, you can support us in two ways. First, by heading to store.thundercrack.com, picking up some merchandise. Or by heading to patreon.com/thunderquack and kicking in with a monthly pledge. As low as a dollar gets you the exclusive Thunderquack podcast and access to our Facebook group, which I think is well worth it. Amanda and I had a great conversation before we started recording.
Yeah.
Arrow, kind of a, I guess it's kind of the pre-show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put that up on Patreon for Patreon supporters.
Yay.
Because
it was good. It was kind of all over.
It's a good conversation, yeah. But it's about nothing in particular. Yeah. And if you want to hear it, you should go. There's going to be one person who is like, ugh, it's another person with a Patreon and they're taking stuff that used to be free and putting it on Patreon and making you have to pay for it. It's a dollar. It's a dollar. You can't buy a chocolate bar for a dollar, okay? This podcast is better than a Kit Kat.
That's our slogan for Thunderquack from now on. This podcast, better than a Kit Kat.
Now I really want a Kit Kat. maybe it's not better than a Kit Kat. A Kit Kat's pretty good. It's better than like a...
Be careful, because I disagree the Kit Kats are good, so whatever you
use... Oh, you don't like Kit Kats?
They're subpar.
What's one that, like, nobody really likes, but for some reason still exists?
Crunchies?
I just had a Crunchy the other day, and it was delicious.
Okay.
What about Mr. Crunch?
No, I don't like anything with crunch in it. I just, they're, nobody, like,
I don't think weird. That anybody likes Mr. Crunch.
I don't know. Chocolate bars. But also, I feel like maybe somebody out there does. Our kinds of chocolate bars are named different than the kinds of chocolate bars in the States. And there's a bunch of stuff. Sure. But there's some things that
Smarties are a different thing. They get so confused when you're like, oh, a box of Smarties. And they're like, a box of Smarties? Smarties are in a little roll.
Smarties are
and you're like, no, those are rockets.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And but
apparently
then
rockets are something else, too, in the States.
No, know, rockets are Smarties in the States.
Oh, weird.
But Smarties are also those little, it comes on like the piece of paper. And there's, like, the little, like, dots of candy. Weird. And you, like, peel them off of the piece of paper, the piece of wax paper. Which, like, I've never eaten one because they do not look like an appetizing candy.
No.
And
Smarties are, like, the best.
Smarties are the best.
How do Americans just not have Smarties? Like, that just is a weird thing. I'm kind of like, they're so yummy. You don't have an alternative. Like, how do you not have Smarties?
They just have M&M's
and Reese's Pieces. And M&M's are not the same.
Not the same.
M&M's are completely different. People don't understand that, like, I would choose Smarties over M&M's any day. Although, peanut Smarties and peanut M&M's and peanut butter M&M's are a different story. Because those are different chocolates entirely. But regular M&M's, gag me. Ugh.
M&M minis, I'm okay with. Because they're so small that you have, like, a couple. But the chocolate in an M&M is so bitter.
Yeah, that's why I don't like them. Such dark chocolate. Smarties are so yummy.
Milk chocolate. Delicious Nestle milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Although Nestle, terrible company.
Terrible, terrible company.
Probably shouldn't endorse their foods.
No, for sure.
So you can live without Nestle products. You're fine.
Don't buy Nestle bottled water. That's for sure. Because it is the worst.
Terrible.
Cool. Well... Patreon.com/thunderquack
For more of that.
If that got you excited, there's more where that came from.
Of us ranting into the microphone.
Talking about nothing in particular, and certainly not anything that anybody is all that interested in hearing. And yet, you guys seem to like it. Thank you for listening.
We'll be back. So grateful for your continued support.
I don't know why anybody listens to this podcast.
But we appreciate it. It's so great. Welcome.
Oh, I love it. I crave it. I need it. But I don't understand it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week for the episode Due Process.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the episode. Is this how I normally do it? Something seems wrong about that.
Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the something episode of season 7 called something. So yeah, did it wrong.
Okay. What is it? The fifth episode?
I don't know. Oh, yes, because I had to actually watch it. I had unplugged my TV like an idiot when I left, so it didn't record any of my shows, and I'm really mad.
Unplugged?
I don't know. Sometimes I just unplug a bunch of stuff before I leave because I get really paranoid about stuff like being plugged in and my TV overheating, and I don't know.
Like bursting into flame?
Well, maybe.
You know it's irrational. I'm not, this is not unrelatable. It's okay. Just maybe that's a little extreme.
I know. And I don't know why I did it. And I unplugged everything and then only realized on my walk home that it wouldn't have recorded Arrow. So I had to watch it on like the on-demand thing. So I had to find all the episodes and there was 5 of them. So
okay.
Yes, it's the 5th episode. That is the answer to the question.
Gotcha.